Reading to you from 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, and with the 18th verse. And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington, and then one year later, God called me to preach, and well, I've been sharing Christ ever since. Well, we've been suffering snowstorms here again in Colorado. Of course, that's something that you have to expect if you live here. I've lived here for 32 or 33 years now, and I've seen some hard winters, and I've seen some good winters. But I do know this. This global warming thing is a big laugh. I'm sure most of you Christians know that God makes weather, I get a kick out of these guys. Well, listen, kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, and then with the 10th verse. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Then we'll turn over here to 1 Peter, the 1st chapter, and the 9th verse, 1st verse. To God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, and Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Christ Jesus, and sprinkling by his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy he has given us new birth and to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into the inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, so now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perisheth even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you have not seen him, you now believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We've labeled this, the best is yet to come. Now, 1 Peter is a book of triumph in trials, and we just read it begins with blessed promises. God doesn't lie. If he promises you and I something, he will fulfill it. Ends speaking of trials and ultimate victory. And we're facing the reality of suffering in life and looking beyond glory. Now it said here in verse 10, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. How many of us have had lots of sickness, and we've had financial problems, and we've had lots of things, you know what? But we're facing the reality of suffering in life. You cannot get through life without suffering. But we're looking beyond to glory. And again, he said in verse 10, there is suffering now, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. You say, Cecil, boy, I don't know. Oh, yes. We're going to suffer as long as we're on this earth. And listen, not only do we suffer, but the lost suffer too. The difference is you and I have someone to go with us through it. You remember Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego when they put up that fiery furnace. They put three in there, and all of a sudden they said, hey, there's four people in there. Well, Jesus was in that fire with them. And you remember when they were out in the sea, when they went to out in a Gadara, and they were in a horrible storm, and the boat they were on was about to sink, and Jesus was asleep in the stern of the ship, and they woke him up and said, Lord, we're going to perish. They were frightened. Well, you see, the Lord was with those fishermen. These guys weren't amateurs. They were journeymen fishermen, and they knew how to run that boat in that lake. You know, I've been in some of the roughest seas in the world, and would you believe it? One of the roughest seas I was ever through was going out of Astoria, going to Seattle, Thanksgiving Day during World War II. Oh, boy, did we ever suffer that day. People, everybody on the ship was seasick. Well, not all of us, but we were queasy. Well, no one can deny that they're suffering even today right now. I wouldn't be a bit surprised that you had maybe a rough week. Maybe things didn't go like the way you wanted them to. And you think, my stars, I don't know. Suffering, why? Because we are part of a fallen race. How wonderful it was before the fall. No sickness, no sorrow, no death. Well, suffering because of the attacks of the adversary. Now listen, my friends, don't you be alarmed. But before the fall, before Satan tricked Eve, it was the most beautiful place in the world. They had everything they ever wanted. Yes, sir, they sure did. And they tilled the forests and the trees. And then the time came when Eve was out there in the garden. She saw this beautiful, beautiful tree. And, you know, friends, the fruit looked good to her eye. Listen, friends, don't forget, sin looks good. Oh, it looks good. But boy, oh boy, if you fall into it, you're going to suffer. Well, the Bible says a roaring lion seeking to devour, verse 8 and 9, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are suffering the same kind of suffering. Now, persecution of believers down through the century. Grief over wayward loved ones. What is your present area of suffering tonight? I suppose it's, well, we know the economy is bad. And we know that if they pass that crazy government-controlled health program, we're beat. We are beat. And those idiots, and I call them that, they are idiots. They can't see what they're doing to us. And now they want to pay for abortion. See, those people don't care about life. They don't know about the sanctity of life. They want to kill babies. I don't know how an old Sam Tar, anybody could be a bona fide Christian and want to kill an innocent little baby. Think about that. God's grace will be sufficient for you in 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Paul, oh, how many times he wanted to be healed, and he sought the Lord, and he sought the Lord, but this is what the Lord said. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. There'll be glory later, and again in verse 10, I go back to there, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered a little while, will restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Friends, listen, Saul of Tarsus really honestly believed he was doing a God's service when he was out messing with Christians and destroying churches and even consenting to letting people be killed. Stephen was killed. Saul of Tarsus was actually holding Stephen's coat. And Saul saw how Christians die. My, my. Well, there will be glory later after you have suffered a while. Now, there's a time limit on all suffering. And I read, and let me turn back here to 1:6. 1:6 here, 1:6. It says, I told you I need to get my glasses fixed. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. You say, Cecil, I'm suffering right now. Well, listen on, listen on, listen on. Peter saw God's glory at the transfiguration. And our future is as bright as the promises of God. You know what Peter said? He said that, for the love of Pete, you know, I'm having a senior, what's his name? You ever had one of them? I'm taking pills for it, but it doesn't seem to help too much. Anyway, let's go to John 14:1-3. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, that's a promise of God. Let not your hearts be troubled or afraid. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may be with me, that you may be with me also. Troubled friends, what a promise. Tonight, let's suppose you are really troubled about something. You really, really, really are troubled about something. Why don't you read that again? Let not your heart be troubled or be afraid. Trust in the Lord. Friends, listen. Trust is a powerful word. A lot of people don't trust their wives. They don't trust their husbands. They don't trust the government, and rightly so. We've been bamboozled. And friends, I say this, and I say this with love in my heart. We have one of the most corrupt countries in the whole world. And yet, I wouldn't trade United States for any place in the world. And I've been halfway around the world. No, I love America. I love our flags. But you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to do away with our Constitution. Oh, yes, they are. You don't have the freedom you used to have when I was a young man. Well, God is preparing us for glory through sufferings. He's perfecting us or maturing us. He is establishing us and building our faith. He is strengthening us. He is placing us on a firm foundation. Well, listen, let me ask this question. Are you on a foundation tonight? Oh, my friend, it's be on the rock. Be sure your feet are on the rock. We are partakers of Christ's suffering, and I read in John 4, 4:13. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. We shall then share also in his glory. What did he say in verse 13? But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Now, it tells us in Romans 8, very familiar passage, suffering is to make us like Jesus. Romans 8, if we know that in all things, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. We know that all things work together. So tonight, you're going through some real problems, and you think, my. But, now, there's a key verse in there. Those who have been called, those who know him. You know, friends, I'm telling you, we have so many lost church members in our church today, it's incredible. I preached a revival in the huge, second largest church in Dallas, Texas. Oh, it was a fancy church. I think they had 8 or 9 millionaires in that church alone. But there was a man who had been a deacon in that church for 20 long years. And one night of the revival, just before I was to speak, this deacon snuck up behind me and said, "Preacher, I got to talk to you." I said, "I can't talk now. As soon as the lady finishes her song, I got to speak." I said, "Look, my motorhome's parked out here in the driveway, or in the parkway," which was huge. I said, "Come on out tonight and we'll talk about it." He never showed up. Then there, very next night, he did the same thing. And so I said, "Okay," and there's a little prayer room there behind this big, huge stage. And he said, "Cecil, I don't know where I'm going." Well, it knocked me flat on my face. "What do you mean you don't know where you're going?" He said, "I don't know where I'm going when I die." Well, he said, "I believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. I believe that he died on the cross. I believe they buried him in a bar tomb. The third day he rose." I said, "Shoot, man, the devils believe that and tremble." And that night, that dear man and I knelt in that prayer room, and he cried out, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Here he was an ordained deacon of that church, that large church, for 20 years, but he was lost, doomed and damned. I was preaching a revival one time in Hamilton, Washington, and that night I preached on John 3:16, and I noticed that woman was really, really impressed, the pastor's wife. The next morning, I went down to go visiting with the pastor. And when I knocked on her door, Mrs. Smith came to the door and she said, "Oh, come on in. Guess what happened to me last night?" I said, "I don't know." She said, "I invited Christ into my heart." Now, here she's the pastor's wife. She said, "I was born and raised in the church. I've been carried to church since I was a little baby. But," she said, "I knew about Jesus. I knew about him, but I didn't know him personally." I wonder, are you in that condition tonight? You know all the facts about him. You know everything about him. You read in the Bible. But you yourself have never confessed to Jesus that you're a sinner and have never ask him to come into your heart and be your personal Lord and Savior. And if you haven't done that, beloved, you are lost. You're doomed and you're damned. Now, that's what the Bible says. Now, you think I'd be preaching today if I hadn't accepted Christ and been called of God to preach? Oh, beloved, you don't know how many pastors I know today that have never felt a call. They just preach because it was a good profession. Preaching's not a profession, it's a calling. I sure wouldn't went on to be a preacher had not God called me. And you talk to any God-called preacher. Hey, God speaks to laymen and laywomen. He calls them. I know a couple of women in the Dalles that God called to the ministry. And they know blessed well that it was a call directly from God. Beloved, I've tried so hard over the years to get through to people that every born-again believer receives a call from God. We're told in the book of Acts that we're to be witnesses and soul winners and to go into all the world and preach the gospel in Matthew. Now, that's a call from God. And if you are not witnessing, and if you're not trying to introduce souls to Christ, you're not living for the Lord. I don't care how good a deacon you are. I don't care how good a preacher you are. If you're not leading people to Christ and you're not out visiting and telling people about Christ, you are not living the life that God called you to do. Don't let no one ever kid you. We are called to His eternal glory. Now, Paul agrees in Romans 8:15, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory." Hey, we're joint heirs. Yes, we are. Oh, my. See, we have two people who were born again have two citizenships, one here on earth and one in heaven. Well, suffering with Him, and then we will reign with Him. Groaning now and glory later. Oh, friends, we understand suffering. The glory ahead is beyond our understanding. I told you recently about this lady, pastor's wife. We used to meet with them every month and have lunch. She was a librarian in the school. And she used to tell me how much she wanted her sons and her daughters and her teacher friends and her loved ones to know Jesus. And she witnessed and she tried to do this and that. Well, they say I was supposed to have been there to speak, but I couldn't. We just couldn't get out. It was so snowy here. There was 350 people came to that lady's funeral. Oh, she was loved. She was a wonderful Christian lady. Oh, my stars. But now, one month from the time my wife and I and her husband had lunch, she was dead. 1 month. I called my sister one time a few years ago, and I told her my wife and I was coming to Portland for a visit. And I said, "I don't know if I'm going to have time, Betty, to come down to California to see you." Oh, she said, "That's okay, Cecil. I know you're busy." But anyway, we got in a car and we took off and we drove to Portland. And I pulled into my nephew's place and he said, "Oh, by the way, Cecil, I want you to call Betty because she wants to talk to you right away." And I said, "Okay." So I called her and I said, "Betty, what's up?" She said, "Cease, I've got a month to live." A month to live. And that's about what she lived. But I told her, "Well, I'm coming to see you." So I drove to California, my wife and I, and we went in to see her. I kissed her and I hugged her and I told her how much I loved her. Oh, she was the sweetest sister. I tell you, I miss her. Every once in a while, she's been gone for several years, and every once in a while I think, I'd like to get on her, because I called her about every other day on the phone, and I thought I'd like to call her, but I can't. She's in glory. You know how long I prayed for my loved ones? I prayed for them for my youngest brother 23 years and my oldest brother 26 years before they all come to know Jesus. Let me ask you, friend, are you praying for your loved ones tonight? They're probably suffering, and I tell you right now, if they don't know Jesus, they are suffering. And when they die, if they die in that condition, they'll be suffering for all eternity in hell. And you're going to have to stand before God and tell why you didn't tell. How many people have you brought to Jesus over the years? You don't know. I sure don't know. Been a lot of them. But I want to bring in some more if I can. See, all earthly gain and glory is just temporarily. His glory and dominion lasts forever. You say, Cecil, I don't know Jesus. I'm one of those lost church members you've been talking about. Well, bow your head right now. Bow your head right now. And you got to tug it at your heart. You better come to Jesus. This might be, well, your last chance. Oh, it could be. The Spirit of God will not always strive with man, whereby man must be saved. If you'd like to trust Jesus, bow your head with me right now, and I'll lead you in a sinner's prayer. Dear Lord, I ask that you forgive my sins. Lord, I know I'm a sinner, but I know I want Jesus to live in my heart, and I want to go to heaven when I die. And so right now, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, get on the phone. Call 303-471-8534. I want to talk to you. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I sure won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. And, oh, friend, I don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. So I want to hear from you. 303-471-8534.
Shackled by a heavy
for the past half hour, your host and evangelist Cecil Moe, and I thank you so much for listening tonight, and I pray something was said that would encourage your heart, let you know that God loves you, I love you, and he wants to take you to heaven with you.